introduce Michael Laverty to you. Michael's actually the Strategic Partnership Coordinator of TIER Australia and has a deep sense of calling to walk alongside those most disadvantaged. Bit of his background, he has a background of working with refugee students and young people in the Alexandria Township in South Africa. And he's also the movement director of Spark, which is a community of artists of faith. So Michael, welcome to our church gathering this morning. And welcome to Kathy, your wife, who's also part of it. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Let me reflect on the song that we heard. We need you now. Lord, hear our prayer. Give us your love. Give us your touch to meet the world in need and to be your hands and feet. Give us your heart. Give us your eyes to serve in love and in truth and to see the world renewed. Renew our world. You hear our prayer, or you hear the prayers of the hungry and the thirsty, your sons and daughters seeking sanctuary, the oppressed and the oppressor in need of your salvation. We need you now. Well, good morning. Thank you so much. I trust that you enjoyed the song, presentation of Renew Our World. And perhaps this time in history, things are being renewed. Our hearts, our faith, our hope, and our capacity to love. And of course, all renewal of all creation. And perhaps the way renewal is happening is in unexpected ways, ways that we could never have conceived. Firstly, I'd like to thank Christine and Vicky for inviting me to join you at church on Sunday morning. And as Vicky mentioned, we had Sunday school, and I had the privilege of meeting all the young people in Sunday school, and we brought in our non-plastic items, and we looked at reduce, reuse, and recycle. In our caring and exploring how to look after God's beautiful earth and his gift to us. And I particularly loved how creative the kids were in bringing their items to share with us. We at TIER are really appreciative of the support that Seaforth Baptist has shown us in your participation in addressing poverty and injustice and in giving support as we navigate our response and calling and mission, which is to bring about a just and compassionate world and to give people the opportunity to achieve their God-given potential. And of course, we wouldn't be able to do that without the support of the Church of Australia and communities like Seaforth Baptist. I'm also particularly thankful of your petition in last year in May, when you joined the rubbish campaign and the pledges of individuals made to reduce their own plastic use and change lifestyle in order that we help in reducing the devastating impacts of what plastic and recycling or rubbish being burnt does to the environment. And of course, particularly how those issues of pollution and rubbish affect the most marginalized communities of the world. You'll also be pleased to know that we've had some significant responses to the petition campaign that we all participated in. You'll know that we are challenging the four biggest multinational companies in the world, and we are asking them to do certain things in commitment to reduce plastic and the use of plastic in their products. We continue to have we've gone a fair amount of way in getting them to do stuff, but we've got a long way to go, and we still have to continue pressurizing Coke, PepsiCo, Nestle, and Unilever to change the ways. And you'll remember that the call we made to those companies was, number one, is to report. So we were asking them to report the number of plastic items they produce and sell by 2020. We then asked and challenged them to reduce. So commit to reducing their product sale in single-use plastic by half by 2025. The next one was to recycle, to ensure that for every one item they produce and sell, they have to collect one item by 2025. And then to restore. And here we're focusing on the waste pickers, people who in rubbish dumps around the world, we're wanting them to employ those waste pickers and actually provide employment with dignity. I won't spend too much time more on that because what we've done, I've asked Christine to provide you a link in the chat room, which gives you a executive report and summary of what has happened since May 2019 to date. And it's quite significant what we've achieved, but we've got a really long way to go. And so that report is very helpful in giving you an understanding of what is ahead for us. Of course, in this time of CV19, we at TIER and TIER International have to time the next stage of our challenge to those companies because, you know, it's a different world that we're operating in. So now let me go to our reflection this morning. And as we've read in Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9, I'll read it again. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's any excellence or praiseworthy thing, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put these into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I guess over the last couple of weeks, I've been caught up in the apostle's letter to the Philippians, and I'm aware that Paul wrote the letter from prison. He was behind locked doors, and perhaps that could have some reflection for us as individuals in our own isolation. But it's really what I've been trying to reflect on in the last couple of weeks is, how do I, in this time, remain faithful? How do I, in this time, maintain my hope? And how do I love well? How do I love in a way that I love God and love my neighbor? And from my neighbor, potentially who my neighbor is, beyond my local community into the wider world. And then even potentially love my enemy. I guess everything in my life and your lives has been disrupted over the last couple of weeks. As we are isolated from church, not knowing where our future will go, what the economy will look like. So there's a whole lot of anxiety and a whole lot of fear, but a whole lot of unknown. And so in a sense, we have to reconsider, I have to reconsider those things. How do I stay faithful, God? How do I stay hopeful? And how do I love well in this time of crisis? And so I've turned to Paul's exhortation, and he starts, firstly, he talks about rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I have been very intentional in trying to understand and find ways of rejoicing. And I rejoice in the fact that I am close to family. I rejoice in the fact that God is near. I rejoice in the fact that I currently have a job. I rejoice in the fact that God is my God, and how would I have done this journey, or how would we do this journey without him being close? And then he moves on, he says, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. And I've been very conscious that in living very closely to my family in closed rooms and shared space, that I need to be really intentional and be gentle in my responses to my spouse and to my daughters. And I need to be kind and merciful and forgiving at times when things get heated, when they do. And then there's this glorious thing. He says, the Lord is near. And I'm conscious of Vicky today as she shares in her grief for her uncle and the many people around the world who are in a place of grief and loss and not knowing and fear and anxiety. And the Lord says, and Paul says, the Lord is near. We've just come through Easter, that time where we went to Good Friday and we celebrated or we observed the death of Jesus on the cross. We then have Saturday, which is that time of nothingness. And of course, Sunday is the time of the resurrection. Perhaps we're all in between spaces at the moment where we see death, we see brokenness, we see hurt, and what we've got to reflect on and know is the Lord is near. And then he says, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. But in everything, in prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We at TIER are obviously also going through our own changes. We're going through responses to what's happening to our partners and the communities they serve. And we're also in a place of not knowing how God and how things, not knowing how things will unfold in the next couple of weeks as this pestilence hits the earth. But what we do have are five responses that we encourage the church to be involved with. One is prayer. The other one is giving. The next is to have a change of personal lifestyle. And then the last one is to have advocacy, to act on behalf of the broken and to be able to respond and to challenge systematic injustice. And so what Paul says is reach out in prayer, present your prayers to God, and he will then be there. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious, but in prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he talks about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's quite interesting to notice that he doesn't necessarily say your prayers will be answered, but he says you will receive the shalom of God, that shalom that has come right through all the scriptures, the promise of God's peace, the promise of the coming kingdom of God, the shalom that settles our hearts and settles our minds. And he says, this will guard your heart and this will guard your minds. And so, as we reflect on those things, I'll just return to that. Apologies. He then says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. Whatever you've learnt and received from me or heard from me or seen in me, put these into practice. In my own reflection, I think about the incredible stories of our people I work with, actually, who travel overseas and work with our partners and in field with some of the most broken and marginalized people. And it allows me to reflect on the lovely, the noble, and the admirable people who are working with the poorest of the poor and the most broken. And there's a story that was shared last 2 weeks ago of a village in in Bangladesh, where the village itself used to get flooded by tremendous floods. And only really because it needed a little bit of adjustment in building. And so what Tier and its partners did is they, with the village, built a channel and a wall, not very high, in a period of 3 months. The most beautiful thing is the water is now completely deviated from the village. And we were able to see how, just by sharing and bringing in expertise and co-working, we could see a complete change for the whole village. And what's really interesting, as the floods come down and they are diverted, the soil that it brought is very beautiful and very rich, and so the community are able to use that in agriculture. And so it's the noble. It's the noble people. It's the admirable people. Where I am able to reflect and say, wow, God, you are doing amazing things. And so finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if there's anything of excellence and praiseworthiness, think of these things. And whatever you've learnt and received and heard from me, put them into practice. So I guess what I would like to do now, I know it's a practice, is to break into groups, and Christine's going to break us into groups. And I want to ask,